Amen. I'll just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for this privilege to stand before your people, God. Holy Spirit, I give you access to my life to speak to me, to speak to everyone in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, I say take over in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So last time I preached, I shared on the symptoms of a sick soul. So I spoke from 3 John 2, the scripture that says, above all, I pray that you will prosper as your soul prospers. And then I spoke about the different symptoms that show that our souls are not prospering. So some of those symptoms were flashes of the past. So when you think of, when you think about something in the past and that brings you pain, that your body starts to experience those emotions that you experience when that thing happen, or you have guards up, like you protect yourself. So if someone hurt you, you then protect yourself. So you protect yourself from anyone that looks like that person that hurt you, or you have an explosive temper, or you vow to say, I will never do that again because of a situation that happened. Or fear is another symptom that, you know, your soul is not sitting well, is sick. And so fear robs us from everything that God has in store for us. And the other thing I spoke about was failure to trust. So maybe your father was absent in your family and now you've just got this thing, you know what, I don't trust any authority figure in my life because the one authority figure that was meant to protect me and nurture me sort of didn't do that. And then maybe you even struggle trusting God. And another symptom I spoke about was feelings of rejection. You know, when you experience rejection, and then that could lead to an inferiority complex or a controlling spirit. And the last thing I spoke about was strongholds. And we define strongholds as wrong thinking patterns. So anything that you think or believe that does not line up with the Word of God, that's a wrong pattern. That's a wrong mindset, and that's a stronghold that's working against you, walking in your full, and the full thing of everything that God has for you. So today I'm going to take it a step before. So I've titled today, Claim Back Your Territory. So that's what I'm calling today's message, Claim Back Your Territory. So I'm taking it, so we spoke about the symptoms now here, before they even come in. So how do those things come into your life? So how do those things enter into your life to cause you to experience those negative feelings or whatever it is that you're feeling? The previous time I shared when God actually started to talk to me about access, legal access. There's a project I was working on at my workplace, and this project, I was so out of my depth. I didn't feel like I was adding value. But my manager clearly wanted me to be a part of this project. And I kept going to these meetings, and honestly, I felt deflated and just like I'd sit in meetings for 4 hours and not say anything because I didn't feel I had anything to add. And one day, you know, I was just whinging before God, and the Holy Spirit said to me, I put you there for a reason. I'm like, oh, really? And then I asked, I'm like, why would you put me there? And he said, because you're there and you're my child, I have access into that project. So if I was not part of that project, he couldn't influence that project to go a certain way. And you know, that was such an okay. It's not I was thinking I needed to be there on an intellectual level, but God was saying, I want you to be there on a spirit level because the fact I was in that project gave him that sphere, gave him that access to come in. So there are doors or areas in our lives that give access to God. So whatever we do, you're either giving access to God or you're giving access to the devil. So our actions and habits, the words we speak, the words you speak, the words I speak, am I partnering with what God is saying or am I partnering with what the devil is saying? How do you know? If what you're saying does not line up with the word of God, you're partnering with the devil. I know that sounds a bit harsh, but that's the fact. That's the truth. Anything that is contrary to the word of God is counter God, therefore is not of God. So as Christians, we should always choose to partner with God and to give him access. Jesus said that we're the salt and the light of this world. So like that example I gave you, the fact that I was part of that project, I became light. I became salt for him to salt, to light that project. So in your personal life, what areas does God want you to salt? Or what influence has God given you, but you're not taking it seriously because you actually don't know that you are there to give God access? A few years ago, someone broke into Pastor Mirella's house, and they stole a lot of valuable things that she could not even replace to this day. And I remember when the police came, they did all their dusting things for fingerprints, and then they walked around her house and they started to show her all the weak access points that the person could have come in. So they pointed to her back door and they're like, look, you've just got a lock. There's nothing. They could have come in. They went through her laundry or something. So they pointed all the areas that were weak access points that anyone could just walk in. So that's exactly what the devil does. He will come and look at me. Let's say that's me. He'll walk around, say, oh yeah, that's a weak point. She's got unforgiveness. And then he'll come in. The thing, we need to keep him out. Once he's in, he's in. Once he's in, he starts to infiltrate into the other areas of my life. So maybe everywhere else I'm okay, but because of unforgiveness, that gives him a foothold. That gives him that access to come into my life. Revelation 12, verse 10. I got the Passion Bible. So excited. So passion. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who relentlessly accuse them day and night before our God has now been defeated, cast out once and for all. So this verse is telling us that the devil is an accuser of us. So he will go before God and say, God, you want to bless Tawana, but look, she's got anger. She's got unforgiveness. She's controlling. She's got all these things. And like I said, those are things, those are areas that give him access to come into my life. Ephesians 6, verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we should never, ever go to war against the enemy without first going to God. What he does is he's been around for a long time and he studies you, he studies me without relenting. So he knows what buttons he needs to press for me to lose my temper. He knows what buttons he needs to press for me to stop spending time with God. And in your life, he does the same. So he is skillful. He is equipped. And so if we just choose to say, oh, I'm experiencing sickness. Oh, maybe it's just because I'm tired, because I'm lethargic. The first thing is actually go to God and say, God, why am I experiencing a headache? And then he'll tell you. Sometimes the solution is you need to drink more water, or you need to take a Panadol, or you need to go for prayer because it's more than what you're experiencing in your natural body. So today I'm going to talk about the three ways the devil gains access into our lives. Three ways. And these three are sin, transgression is the second one, and iniquity is the third one. So I'm going to try and break them down. So to sin, Pastor Mirella did a sermon on sinning a few weeks ago. So to sin basically is to miss the mark. That's what the dictionary says. So when you sin, I'm supposed to aim at that sign that says exit and I aim at the clock. That's sinning, but in our lives. So sinning is going against the will of God. And emphasis is on self. So it's my actions, my motives, it's all about self. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about fulfilling my personal desires. That's what happened when the devil got thrown out of heaven, because he had that self. He's like, why can't they worship me? Why? I'm bringing all this worship to God. I am the magnificent angel. Why is that not coming to me? And that was it. And that was the sin that got him thrown out of out of heaven. So examples of sin are pride, selfishness, greed, self-righteousness, anger, lying, manipulation. So when we sin, like I've said, the motive is on self. And do you do things to get ahead of others? Do you do things to get ahead at the expense of relationships? That's sinning. Because it's all about self. We're created to worship God. We're created to start from God's love, then we extend out. So if there's anything in your life, trust me, there's things in my life. If there's anything in your life that is not honoring to God, that is dishonoring to others, that's not walking in love towards others, that's sin. And that will give the devil a foothold. Ephesians 4:27, Amplified Version. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. The Passion says, don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. So though these things seem simple, oh, I'm just lying, it's a white lie. Oh yeah, you know, I'm just being boastful, I've just got pride. Like I said, he just needs an access, just a slither of a access point. He rages. John 10:10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's there watching you, watching me for any opening to come in. So sin is a door that gives access to the devil for him to accuse us before God, like we've read in Ephesians 4:27. And it also gives him an opening for him to attack us, like I've just said, John 10:10, where the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So if there's active sin in your life, that's an access point that the devil can come in. If there's an access, there's sin in my life, that's a door that the devil can come in. So how do we close this door? So I'm going to give us ways on how we can close these doors. You repent. And to repent, it means a change of heart and direction. So I said, sin is missing the mark. So if I'm aiming there, to repent is to correct that. And then I start walking in the way I'm supposed to go. And the second thing you do, once you've repented, always check your motives. Always ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, sometimes you want to be right, but being right is not kind. This is something my husband and I say to each other all the time. That I could say something that's right, but in saying it, it's so hurtful to him. So that's where you check your heart motives. I'm like, okay, so then I ask myself, do I have to say that? I might be right. I know I'm right. But do I have to say it at the expense of him being hurt? You have to be the bigger person. You know, there's some things, you have to let some things just go. You don't have to win every argument. You don't have to win every battle. So the first door is sin. How do we close that? Repent. As I'm speaking, just be having a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Just be having the conversation and say, Holy Spirit, what sin is in my life that I need to repent of? What sin, what wrong motives do I have in my life right now? You could be doing a right thing, but the motive behind it is not right. So that then makes that right thing a wrong thing because it's coming out of a place of self. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. How many people have quoted that, declare that, you know, when you're sick over yourself, over someone else? So verse 5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. So the second thing is transgressions. Transgressions are any activity that is against God, crossing the line or breaking the law. So when we disobey God's word, we give the enemy legal access to attack us because we are breaking a law of the kingdom of God. And where do we do that? We normally do that in our thoughts. in our thoughts life, in our thought life. So our thoughts are an access point. So wrong mindsets. Do you see yourself lesser than someone else? If the answer is yes, that's a wrong mindset. Because God has said he has fearfully and wonderfully made you. So if I see myself lesser, I am saying, God, actually, your creation is not that great. I'm being proud. I'm being boastful. It doesn't seem that way. But according to the law of God, that he says he has created me in his image. But if I see myself lesser than that image, I am transgressing against the law, his word that says I am made in his image. Do you discount yourself from receiving God's love? Do you think you've sinned so much or you've gone so far from God's love or God's word, whatever, that he can't love you? You're transgressing against the law of God. Because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God looked at you, God looked at me, and thought we were worthy of his son coming to die for us. Do you have thoughts or say things like, why would anyone love me? That's a wrong mindset. And you're giving access to the devil. Do you have thoughts or say things like, I've wasted my best years? You know, when God went to Adam and Eve in the garden, when Adam said, I'm naked, God said, who told you that? And this morning, the Holy Spirit is asking you and I, whatever excuse we are having, who has told us that? So anything in your thought life, in your word life, that is against you being fearfully, wonderfully, God so loved the world, that's a wrong mindset. And that's a door. That's a foothold. By thinking those things and then confessing it, we're literally opening wide. We're saying, what actually? Because we're at war with the enemy. We're saying, enemy here. This is my weak point. Attack me here. Enemy here. It's basically pulling a bullseye on your weak spot and asking the enemy to attack you. So if you think thoughts like turmoil is normal to me, if you've accepted that things not working in your life is okay, things not working in your life is fine. Oh yeah, that's just how it happens for me. That's a wrong mindset, and that's an access we're giving the enemy. And that's transgressing against the law of God. So when we have wrong mindsets, we're partnering with the devil and essentially giving him ammunition to attack us. How do we close that door? Repent and renew your mind. How do we renew our minds? Romans 12 tells us, by spending time in the Word. So when you first read it, your mind's not going to change straight away. Depending how long you've been in that negative space, in that wrong mindset, sometimes it can take years. But the more we do it, the more when those thoughts come, we have a counter-attack plan. So, you know, when those negative thoughts come, you can say stuff like, no, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. And that is from the Word of God. You say stuff like, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. If the enemy comes and says, well, that is such a bad, bad sin, on the worst sin you could ever do. You know what? You say, Jesus paid it all. And you go and repent, and you come before God. And you repent, and you change your way. And if you've got thoughts about, you know what, this is the best I can do. Ephesians 3:20. You say that back. God will do the exceedingly abundantly above all I can hope or dream. So whatever your wildest dreams are, the Word of God says he will surpass that. He will surpass that. So if you're having thoughts or speaking words that are not the grand plan of God over your life, you need to stop that, because that is giving access to the devil. Amen? So how do we close the door for transgressions? You need to repent, renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You read the Word. You read the Word, because that's the food for our spirit. And then you pray in the Spirit. In Jude it says, praying in the Spirit builds up your most holy faith. So in your home, when you walk anywhere, you can pray in the Spirit anywhere. You don't even need to be, you know, in a quiet place. And then when wrong or negative thoughts come, you need to counter them. And the last one is iniquity. So Isaiah 53 verse 5, he says, he was bruised for our iniquities. I'll read Exodus 34 verse 6 and 7 first. Then I'll explain it. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So iniquity is sin that is in the bloodline. It is, you know, you hear people say generational curses. That is that sin. And I know some of us here, I've been there too. I'm like, what about grace? You know, what about grace? Jesus came and there's the whole grace side of it. A few weeks ago, Pastor Mirella preached on how when Adam and Eve passing on their legal authority to the devil. Jesus then came and he got back that authority from the devil. But we still live in a fallen world. We still live in a world where unless we take back our authority from the enemy, we actively have to take that authority back. Otherwise, we will still live under that oppressed system of from the Garden of Eden. He's not just going to hand it back to you. And he also wants to keep you blinded. So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4 says, the God of this world has blinded those who do not believe. That's his strategy. One, he wants to keep us away from authority. We heard he has power, but he doesn't have authority. He wants us blinded that we have authority. Then he wants us blinded to the truth. So the devil, his job description is to devour, to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will find a legal right. You know, God is a just God. He's a just God will abide by the law. Like the justices in the legal practice, you abide by the law. So iniquity is sin that is in the bloodline, and it can result in generational curses. Electricity, I'll give just another example. So let's just say Energy Australia powers the electricity to this building. But if all these lights were switched off, we could sit here and say, Energy Australia has given us the power, has given us the electricity. But unless we physically go and turn on that light switch, we're not going to access that power. And that's the same. So what Jesus did at the cross, that's the answer to iniquity. But we have to actively appropriate everything that the cross represents for us to walk in that victory. So iniquity works in a number of ways. So really, at this point, I would really want you to be having a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Be having that conversation with the Holy Spirit right now. So it affects your family life, your family line. When you look at your family line, is there an area that affects a number of your immediate and extended family? So are there certain addictions that you can see a pattern running through your family? Is there abandonment? Like I spoke about abandonment last time. Is there shame that runs through your family? Just be having that cover. Just have a think and say, what runs in my family? Is there things that run for the women in your family? Is there things that run for the men side of your family? My family, when I look at my family on my father's side, most of the men don't stay in one marriage. Either they divorce or they have marital, extramarital affairs. I can only think of one uncle that's been married to the one woman. And you know what? He's a Christian. So those are some of the things that I see. You know, as parents, as grandparents, we need to pray for our children. Because just as iniquity can pass, blessing passes through. So like I pray for my kids and I'm praying for, I always say, God, I'm praying for them until you come. For my whole line is going to be blessed. And it's going to just get more and more and more into the world until you come. I don't know how many generations out that is. But I have faith and I'm believing for us. Another way that iniquity affects you, it changes your identity in that God has called you to be the head and not the tail. So are there things that run through your family? Like I've said, divorce, marital affairs, chronic lying, even just lack of vision. When you look at your life, when you look at your family, does it look like everyone's just going in circles? You try this, there's a roadblock. You try something else, there's a roadblock. Is there even prayers that you've been praying for years and you're not getting a breakthrough? It could be because there's iniquity that's running through your family line that hasn't been dealt with. Children often repeat the sins of the parents. How many things do you do now that your parents did or still do that you vowed you'd never do them, but you see yourself doing them? I've got a few. That could be iniquity running through your family line. A few months ago, I had a dream. Because this is like God's been dealing with me personally about this stuff. I had a dream and I dreamt my great-grandmother on my dad's side. I never met her. She passed before I was even born. And in the dream, I saw her talking to someone else. And it seemed like she had not, something had happened and she didn't fulfill her side of the bargain. And this person said to her, so it's like I was just standing watching them. This person says to her, I will curse you. I curse you. I curse your line. Your line is going to be the least of the least and shame will follow them. That was in the dream. It's around that time that God started to deal with me about shame as a symptom of my soul. And he showed me the root of where that came. And I remember I called my mom. I'm like, Mom, I had this dream. And I told her. And she's like, oh, my goodness. Yes. She confirmed like what I told her. She'd never told me. And she started to even tell me more deeper things about my family line. So there's things that your grandparents, your great-grandparents could have done that have brought sin into your life. But the good thing is there is the cross. Amen. There is the cross. We're not doomed. This is not the end of it. But just being aware of it and going to the root and dealing with the root and killing the root, that will release us to walk in the fullness of what God has for us. Another way that iniquity can affect you is it detours your destiny. Psalm 139 verse 16, it reads, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. The devil also has a plan for your life. He also has a plan for my life that is counter the plan of God. So as we make choices, as we make decisions, we float between that plan of God and that plan of the enemy. And iniquity could stop us from actually walking in what God has called us to. So are there things in your life that you just cannot explain why they're working? You've done everything in the natural. You've prayed about it, but it's just not working. You're just not getting the answer that you want to. Joshua 9, verse 14. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them leave. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So this story is about the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were one of the tribes that Joshua and the Israelites were supposed to wipe out to claim their promised land. But when the Gibeonites saw what the Israelites were doing, what they did is they devised a scheme where they dressed in rags and they carried food that was so old. And they went to Joshua and the Israelites and they said, oh, we've come from far, far away. Please make a covenant with us. And that's where it says, they did not ask counsel of the Lord. Like what I said, before you go into anything, ask God. Anyway, Joshua and the Israelites, they make a covenant with them. A few days later, moments later, they come and they actually find out they're neighbors. So they were not from far, far away. 70 years later, Samuel 21, verse 1. So this happens 70 years later. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answers, it is because Saul and his bloodthirsty house, because he killed the Gibeonites. So Joshua had made a covenant with the Gibeonites, though it was based on lies, they made a covenant. 70 years later, Saul begins killing the Gibeonites, and a famine comes on Israel for 3 years. And David asks, says, God, why are we having this? He's like, well, because you've broken this covenant. So why I'm highlighting this is there could be things that have happened in our line, in our family line, that are affecting our lives today. In 2013, things were just not working out, you know, in my family. And I remember my mom and I were like, you know what, let's just pray. Let's just pray. And as we prayed, we one of the things we're praying about was to just breaking generational curses. And both of us, she's in Canada, I'm here, we waited on God on the different things. We're just like, Holy Spirit, show us what's in our line. You know, we started to list down those things. And we prayed and we broke those things. And almost immediately, things started to work. She had been waiting for her citizenship for like 3 years. It got granted. I've got three brothers. My second brother, he got a job. Like he's a genius. The fact that he didn't have a job, you can't explain that. My other brother, they got their permanent citizenship. So things we had been praying for, we had sown seeds for, we had fasted for, we had spoken in tongues over. The moment we stood together and we prayed and we broke those things over our family, just doors started to open. So how do we close the door of iniquity? We appropriate what Jesus did at the cross. So the answer to iniquity is the cross. So Jesus is the answer. Amen. Yeah, I'll just get the team up. So are there situations in your life that you're not seeing breakthrough in? Do you see a pattern in your family life of sickness? You know, we accept, you know, when you go to the doctor, they will say to you, does diabetes run in your family? And we're quick to say, yes, yes, yes. Does this run in your family? We have the power to break that, amen? Through the blood and through the cross of Jesus. So do you see a pattern in your family line of sickness, of addictions, of divorce, abandonment, hopelessness, whatever the Holy Spirit is showing you? We need to appropriate the freedom that Jesus gave us. Revelation 12, verse 11, it says, they conquered him completely through the blood of the Lamb and the powerful word of his testimony. Amen? That is how we get free from whatever oppression is in your life, from whatever oppression is in my life. And like I said, we're starting from a place of victory. I don't want you to feel like, oh, it's all doom and gloom. We're actually starting from a place of victory. When Jesus' last words were, it is finished. And it is finished. But what you and I need to do is turn on that light switch and access what the cross brought for us. So the cross is the bridge from all oppression to complete freedom. So whatever it is in your life that is sin, that is transgression, or that is iniquity, the cross is the bridge from that oppression to complete freedom. And how do we close this door? You confess, repent, and renounce all sins that are attached to your family line based on the finished work of the cross. So basically, you're breaking the cycle. So from you onwards, it's all blessings. From you onwards, from where you are, from me, my descendants, like I said, until Jesus comes, it's all blessings. And that's the same for you. You just need to appropriate the freedom that the cross brings. And then the next thing you need to do is forgive your ancestors and forgive yourself. Because sometimes, you know, you can get angry and say, why did they do that? It doesn't matter. Like I said, we're starting from a place of victory. God, Jesus said, it is finished. So forgive them, forgive yourself. And then the next thing you need to do is to receive God's freedom and see yourself free from whatever oppression that you're under. And don't let fear rob you. Like right now, the enemy is saying, oh yeah, that's all Old Testament, that's Old Covenant. You know, we're grace people. Of course we're grace people, but we have to appropriate what the cross means. Amen? Amen. And then the last thing is to pray for supernatural restoration. Joel 2:25 talks about God restoring the years that we have lost. Amen? So we're starting from a place of victory. So whatever has happened, you know, this is God opening our eyes. This is God opening my eyes saying, look, there's a battle raging. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 says we are fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Does that sound to you like it's all, you know, fun and games? That sounds intense. If this was a movie, I wouldn't want to watch this movie. It sounds really, really dark. But this is the reality of the world we live in. So we need to appropriate what the cross represents. So what does the cross represent? It represents forgiveness. We are forgiven in Him. What does it represent? It represents freedom. We are free from every oppression of every demonic stronghold, words ever spoken. We are free. What else does it represent? Access to the Father. Before, we never had free access to the Father, but now we've got access to the Father. What else does the cross represent? It represents prosperity of your soul, of my soul. Prosperity even in the natural. He wants us to be the heads. What else does the cross represent for you? Healing. It says, by His stripes we were healed. So many things that we get from the cross. But like I said, we need to appropriate that cross. So I just ask everyone to stand. And hopefully you were having a conversation with the Holy Spirit as I was talking. And I want us to break every access the enemy has over our lives. To break sin, to break transgression, to break iniquity. I'll just get the music up so that in your own words, you speak to God. No one's listening to you. You speak to God. Start breaking things. Start breaking things off your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the cross, God. Thank you for the cross, Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God. I thank you that you reveal to us doors that we need to close in our lives, oh God. Lord, right now, with your authority, with your power, I come against every door that is open that means needs to be closed right now, oh God. And we shut it in the name of Jesus. Break the power of the enemy over our lives in Jesus' name, oh God. Every generational curse, every generational sin, oh Father God, right now we break its power in the name of Jesus, oh God. We renounce its power and authority over our lives in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, we forgive ourselves. We forgive our ancestors, oh God, that have open up these doors in the name of Jesus, and we close it in the name of Jesus. We forgive them in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, we're praying. I am praying, oh Father God, that our lives are realigning with your word, oh God. They're realigning with the plan that you have for our lives in Jesus' name, oh God. Lord, I'm breaking wrong mindsets right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Wrong thinking patterns that were not good enough, I break them in the name of Jesus, oh God. Sickness that is running through our families right now, I cut it off. I break its power in the name of Jesus, oh God. Depression, I break it in the name of Jesus. Abandonment, I break it in the name of Jesus, God. lack of vision, just toiling and going around in circles. I break it in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, we fully appropriate the cross, what the cross represents in our lives. Lord, we appropriate the freedom, oh God. We receive the freedom. We receive the joy. We receive the healing, oh God. We receive it in Jesus' name.